Welcome to the Amazon Legends Podcast, where we have real stories about making it big on Amazon. Our guests are CEOs of large companies and entrepreneurs who became powerful sellers, also experts specializing in helping sellers, and both former and current Amazon employees who will give us an insight from behind the scenes. Here's your host, Nick Urison.
Welcome to another episode of Amazon Legends. My next guest today has a decade managing brands on Amazon under her belt, and she's the e-commerce manager at Pluggable Technologies. And when she's not managing brands or building revenue for her clients, she's into traveling and exploring different cultures, a big foodie, and not just eating, but also cooking. And especially when we talk, she says she loves making a skillet with sweet potatoes for breakfast. Right, Ashley?
Yes. So,
welcome to the show. This is Ashley Earl, and welcome to the show, Ashley.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So when you and I first met and we were discussing about what we want to talk about, and you mentioned an interesting new feature that Amazon introduced, that how you masterminded it. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, so this new feature that is something we've been a part of, I've been a part of since the beta days, is driving external traffic to Amazon using Amazon attribution.
Okay, so this is a controversial subject. So obviously one size doesn't fit all. So let's study this, because I really want the listeners to learn from you and then see if this is the right thing for them. So right off the bat, let's start with a new seller. So let's say you've got somebody who has done his or her homework with the right product, picking the right product. They've done their research. They've created their content. They've got great pictures, titles, bullets, A+. It's now ready to launch, and they're launching. So obviously, the first challenge is to get reviews. Reviews come from orders. Orders need reviews. So it's that initial hump. So tell us about your experience using external traffic with attribution for new launches.
Yeah, that's such a great point. I mean, there are so many layers and different phases of when and why you might use Amazon attribution. And, you know, for a new seller or for a new brand, and within a new brand, a new product as well, there's, you know, different reasons why you may or may not use it at certain levels of that process. But this tool is still so useful because of the trackability that it gives you, kind of understanding what's happening with your product. And then also is sending Amazon these positive indicators of, hey, this is performing well. You know, people are coming off Amazon onto Amazon and then engaging with this product. Maybe we should give it a little bit more rank juice, or maybe we should show it up on these certain keywords. So all around, it's a really positive thing. So breaking that down just a little bit more, you know, for a new product, if I was, you know, launching something that doesn't have Amazon still looking at this in its honeymoon phase and saying, okay, what's relevant to this product? What kind of keywords should this show up on? What kind of customers are engaging and converting and interacting with this product? Amazon still doesn't know what that is. So any triggers or indicators that you're giving Amazon to this product will ultimately positively impact, you know, initially that launch period, but then the life cycle of that product. And some of those, you know, why Amazon attribution is so beneficial for a new product is external traffic is often viewed as something that's just as beneficial as, you know, doing advertising on Amazon or trying to rank for a certain keyword. It's sending all of that organic juice there. So you can track the, you know, sales, the add to carts, the conversions, everything that happens. Amazon's tracking that as well. So all that positive juice, I guess, ultimately to say positively lifts the product in Amazon's rank and algorithm.
So you would favor using external traffic for new launches?
Yeah, you know, it's always, I think I'd say that you have to do it all. And especially on a new launch, you have to make sure that you're doing advertising. But I would definitely say it's a part of the game now. External traffic is huge when you're launching a new product, especially in a competitive category. If you're not, you know, unique on a keyword, or you've got some established brands that have a lot of reviews, anything that you can do to kind of boost that, external traffic is one of those keys that will help unlock that. So yeah, absolutely. I think external traffic is key.
Okay. So for the listener's benefit, attribution means that if you create your external ads by using the tag that Amazon produces for you, then you can identify where that traffic is coming from in your Amazon brand analytics, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's all through a simple link. So you'll create this in the Amazon attribution dashboard, which is now used to have its own landing page. It now lives under the advertising console. So you can kind of easily navigate there. Simply create this Amazon attribution link, and then you'll just either post or paste that in wherever it's applicable. You know, we'll use it in Google advertising. We use it on our website from blog posts. We use it on Facebook, Instagram, all those social platforms. If we're doing a special YouTube video for the product or the launch, it all kind of integrates and is posted in those certain levels. So then that link provides that attribution of what takes place after the customer clicks on that link. So again, that's kind of where that value comes in and why Amazon values these tracking posts and interactions so heavily on their platform.
Are you able to see the sales generated for each attribution link?
Yes. Yeah. So what we'll do is we'll often create a campaign, and then under that campaign, we'll have a separate link for Facebook. We'll have a separate link for YouTube, for a blog post, for Google Ads. They all have an individual link. And so after that link is interacted with, we can check the clicks, we can watch the add to carts, and then ultimately, we can see, you know, the sales that were driven on that specific product. The thing that's really neat about attribution as well that we love to see is it will actually also capture brand halo sales. So let's say that if they, you know, watched your YouTube video, clicked on the attribution link, and then saw your detail page for the product you're promoting, but ended up buying, you know, a different product that you have in your brand, Amazon will still track that and provide that data in the brand halo to you, so you kind of understand what the buyer's journey was there.
Okay. So now I'm going to ask you something that is like a combination of things. What do you think about the idea of influencers having a separate attribution link for each influencer and then tracking the kind of sales generated by these individual influencers, you know, YouTube promotion of your product? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I know it's becoming more common, right? Influencers and trying to connect that with your brand. And so, you know, I think, again, just an area where if creating an attribution link is a bit overwhelming to you as a brand, having a link just in the first place is a great place to start. So if that, you know, is the first barrier, make sure that you've got a link for any influencers, anything that you're doing. However, an even better step to this process is, yes, I would recommend having an individual attribution link for each influencer and for each different place that this is getting posted or talked about. And the reason why that's so important is, you know, one influencer might have a better conversion or interaction or engagement with the customer base than a separate one. So you're not as easily able to kind of separate those metrics if you've got it all under the same link. Just creates a little bit of ease of use and kind of understanding. So then, you know, I might look at this data as a brand and say, wow, influencer X performed really well with this specific product and this link. let's re-engage with them again when we have a new product or, you know, this product again in several months. So that's how I would do that.
So can you share with us the kind of data that you are seeing under attribution? For example, total sales, conversion rates, keywords, or is it what do you have access to?
Yeah, this is one of the areas that we've actually been pretty impressed with the metrics that Amazon gives us. So it's a pretty full funnel, you know, information of what happens after they click on the link. So you're seeing, you know, clicks or interactions with the actual link. You're seeing detail page views. You are seeing add to carts. So if they actually took action to click the button, but then you're seeing a layer deeper of if they actually purchased after clicking on the add to cart. So you can kind of see everything that goes through the funnel. I really love the add to cart metric. I feel like that's something we don't often see, you know, throughout Amazon's journey. And, you know, we'll often see, you know, a product gets added to cart, you know, 50 times and there were only 10 purchases. Well, that tells us that a certain part of the conversion through that link worked. They wanted to add it to cart, but maybe there was something that was missing that didn't cause them to purchase right in that moment. So, you know, there's some really great metrics that Amazon's giving us through the attribution links.
Yeah, you know, I myself add things to cart and never buy them. And they sit there, they either sit in the cart, or sometimes there are things that I want to buy and I just move them to save for later. So they still sit there. And sometimes some of them may sit there for a long time. So they don't necessarily become a purchase. So ultimately you want the purchase, of course. So, but seeing the attrition between add to cart and purchase, that's a very valuable thing. So I haven't actually seen anybody or heard anybody talk about external traffic and attribution as passionately as you, except one other gentleman many months ago, and he said something that you also mentioned. Amazon actually increases your rank if you are running external traffic campaigns. So my question was, and it's the same for you. So when you run an external traffic campaign, you have the link directly to the product page. There is no search. There's no nothing. The customer clicks and then they are on your product page. How does Amazon know what keyword to rank you for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yeah, and something interesting too that you can do with attribution links that kind of adds an extra layer of complexity there is you can link to a detail page, but you can also link to an Amazon store. So that, you know, the keyword specific ranking is possibly lost even a little bit more in the store linking process. Yeah, so what we've seen is that keyword ranking specifically is sometimes a little bit trickier to nail down when it's just, let's use the influencer example again, when you're linking influencer to a specific product page. Yeah, there's not necessarily any way that Amazon might say, oh, this product should link better for table or, you know, table tray or something like that. There's nothing that's positively indicating that through that journey. Mm-hmm. However, we have seen some of that taking place with Google advertising, where we have we're actually using a software called Amped. And we can do specific keyword targeting and specific driving of traffic through a keyword to Amazon using attribution links. And so that's one attributed to the keyword back in our Google Ads. So we know whether to double down or remove that keyword. But then it's also sending some positive indicators to Amazon, where Amazon watches the Google buying journey as well, leading to their page. So not every link might have an impact on keyword ranking, but we have seen it with advertising, external advertising, that it can help. But then we also are kind of just watching the category rank, the BSR, right? And that definitely can see a positive lift for any external traffic that performs well.
And also Amazon is indexing your content all the time.
Yes.
Right? So that's a big deal. So what I'm hearing you say is, if you run a Google ad campaign, that's obviously keyword driven. Amazon is somehow picking up the keyword searches that are done on Google. Is that the case?
Yeah. So they definitely are watching what happens on Google, right? Like anything that happens on Google, whether that leads to Amazon, Amazon's watching that closely. It's such a huge driver for them. So we have seen that positively impact. In fact, Amped, that software I was just talking about, they have a neat feature that actually will track the keyword rank that you're driving with your Google ads on Amazon, and watches and tracks that over time. So yeah, I don't know exactly how they're doing it, but they're watching it pretty closely. Yeah.
So share with us some of your experience out of the external traffic sources. What are the best ones? Give us your take on new launches versus growth.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it really can depend on your brand and your products. So I'll kind of try to speak a little bit more high level, although I think just to, you know, say if you got a bigger following or a bigger interaction with your customer base on a specific social platform, or maybe your email subscriber list is really strong, that's likely going to be your strongest area to double down and to watch those metrics. But I definitely would encourage continue growing and testing, because you might be surprised what you're also able to grow and track outside of what's already strong for you. So what we've seen already is for a new launch is Google advertising is really important, and has been a very positive indicator for new products that we're driving traffic to Amazon. The reason why Google advertising, kind of like what we were just talking about, is so important is you're able to get very specific with the targeting for a new product and drive that traffic to Amazon that you have a higher chance of converting. If you're doing, you know, a random influencer or something that's a bit newer that you're testing with a new product, you don't know necessarily what the conversion will be for that product. So, you know, I can speak to an example. We've tested doing different newsletters and partnerships, and it's sometimes a bit of a shot in the dark, even if your customer base is aligned, of if the customer is ready at that moment to purchase. Whereas on Google, you know that they're searching, or there's some kind of an ask or an intent that they have behind why they're on Google at that moment. So it's a higher chance of seeing a conversion or some kind of an action that takes place. So for new products, we think that's a great place to start.
So you recommend Google over others in order to get higher conversion?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I would also say the secondary to that is just, again, if you've got a strong growth, you know, so strong subscriber base through your email, that's a huge place to kind of double down as well. You know, the best strategy, I think, for new product launches is to send Amazon lots of different traffic sources, do Amazon advertising, do all of the kind of organic and different things that you should be doing to grow and rank positively, but then send Amazon several, you know, five different external traffic indicators saying, hey, this product is, you know, got a lot going for it. It's converting through different means and showing up, and customers are positively interacting with it. So send them as many as you can, but yeah, Google has been a very positive one for new products.
So let's talk about the growth stage listing. So this is, we're talking about a company or a listing that has X number of reviews, credible number of reviews, and they've got a pleasant rank. Let's call it, I don't know, 40,000, 50,000 BSR. And they've been doing Amazon PPC and their own efforts through their own following. So what is your take on bringing external advertising into that operation? What will be the impact that you can expect?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the unique thing about when a product is in its growth phase on Amazon is you already have some data and understand how customers are interacting with this product and, you know, specific keywords or use cases. You can look at the reviews. You have a certain level of understanding of what's going on with that product that you can then use to re-engage that with that same customer base. So ultimately, our goal when a product is in the growth phase is to, you know, one, get back in front of customers that maybe would purchase it again or upsell in some way. Or two, it's to find new customers that align with this product as well. So something that we love that Amazon does through Amazon Attribution is they'll actually tell you the new to brand sales as well. So when we're re-engaging with this customer base or trying to target the same customer base that we know performs well, let's say it's a business product, or let's say it's something that we know, you know, young moms will engage well with, we're trying to grow that new to brand sales rate through this Amazon Attribution link. So that kind of depends on what your product and your brand is. It might look like, you know, getting in touch with influencers that align with that customer base. It might look like emailing people that have purchased from you in the past or your subscriber base, talking about that product again or why it's performing well. But it's all just about re-engaging that same customer base, trying to grow those new customers.
I see. So with, you know, we talk about this with different guests. So I have two camps forming, fairly, you know, solid camps about external advertising. One camp is in favor of it. It's absolutely, you've made the arguments. The other camp is not for the new listings, for growth. They say, we tried external advertising, but we stopped it because it was starting to kill our conversion rate. Because the people, you know, their argument is very simple. Anybody who already on Amazon, they are there to purchase something. But anybody that is outside Amazon, you don't necessarily know that they're going to purchase. So when you bring X number of people from outside Amazon into an Amazon product page, you can get a lot of traffic coming, but the conversion rate is going to be fairly poor, and ultimately it will impact your overall conversion rate on the product detail page. So that's their argument. So what would be your response to that? How would you go about it?
Yeah, that's a great point and something that I've heard as well. And I think it's definitely important to make sure that you're analyzing your campaigns to make sure that you've got it as niche as possible while being, it's really easy to be very broad. Even, you know, let's talk about like Google advertising or Facebook advertising. It's really easy to, you know, have a campaign that's live and spending money and sending traffic and clicks to a page. But if that campaign is not, you know, niche or dialed in to perform well for that customer base, you know, it can definitely send adverse effects, especially like you're saying on a new product that is needing all the positive indicators that it can. I'd say also though, something that I would suggest starting with is start small, watch what's happening with the data, and then start to incrementally grow based off positive indicators that you're seeing. And it's true, you know, there are some products that maybe the best thing for you to do with your time and your ad money is to just spend that on Amazon advertising. Make sure that your keywords and everything is dialed in as closely as possible. Mm-hmm. Those customers might not be on Facebook or might not be at the right time in the buying period when they're on Facebook to convert on a product. So it's important to understand your products, but then incrementally grow so that you're sending the right traffic to those pages.
Yeah. You know, I'm also going to make your argument myself. So like, for example, let's say that you launch the product and you're running external traffic. You're using Facebook campaign. You're using your own mailing list. You're running a little bit of Google ads, some Instagram, and you're getting a conversion rate of X, which may be favorable, right? Maybe favorable. I would be, let's assume it's favorable. I would say, why am I going to lose this opportunity that I already built myself where I'm getting consistent conversion through external and switch to Amazon PPC where I have no idea what's going to happen? And then that actually may have an impact on my conversion rate, negatively. So that's also possible, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I would agree, you know, something interesting to think about as a brand and as somebody launching a new product is to pay really close attention to what your competitors are doing. Any more on Amazon, you know, people are driving external traffic. Customers are expecting to engage with products off Amazon and then see them on Amazon. So it's important to know what your competitors are doing, because if you think, it's not for me, your competitor might be winning. They might be engaging with these customers off Amazon. And then ultimately, that could be what pushes them to show up more favorably or to get more positive reviews. Right. So pay attention to what your competitors are doing as well.
Yeah. So I think what you introduced a whole new dimension here, because usually what people do is they have their listing and they run Amazon ads, and their Amazon ads drive so much traffic and ultimately results in revenue. So tracking their revenue, paid ads versus organic, add together, you have the total sales. Now you are saying paid Amazon ads, external ads, organic, and the total. So you got now four things to watch, right? So, and of course, the main driver in all these is not the sales. It's the conversion rate, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now share with us how people can access conversion rate for all four. That's paid Amazon, attribution, organic, and total.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, Amazon has a lot of data that's available to sellers, and it can be overwhelming with how much there is and all the tracking and traceability that you need to do. What we've been doing for all of our new product launches is we'll do about a 30-day check-in where we watch all of those different indicators of what happened with our Amazon advertising, what happened with our external advertising, what happened with organic. We map this all out in kind of a report of sorts, and just so that we've got everything visual in one spot so we can see the holistic and full picture of what's going on with that product after a new launch, to double down on that, to kind of continue the growth cycle for that product moving forward. And I'd say, you know, all of this data is available in Seller Central. So attribution data is under the advertising console. You have to download those reports. And then Seller Central will have all of the, business report data on what's organically happening with the product. And then we'll marry a lot of that data with Helium 10 information of what's organically happening with the keywords of that product, where we're ranking.
Okay. So because, you know, the one thing I know about data is it's no good looking at, it's like, you know, driving a car, you are on the highway, and then you look at your dashboard, you see you're doing 75 miles an hour at that point. Okay, well, by the end of the journey, what was your speed? Your speed throughout the journey was not 75. That was just at that point. So same thing with all these reports that you're talking about that you have to download and look at. It's not just enough, right? You have to store them and you have to build your own thing and look at it in perspective over time, right? That's the way to do it.
Absolutely.
Which is very labor intensive.
Yes, I'm lucky enough to have somebody on my team that is fully focused on data that helps with this. So we've built out data studio reports and with Google and use, you know, BigQuery and a lot of these things that tackle the really complex and difficult parts of looking at this data. So it can be a lot as a small brand when you're just starting out to know what to do with all of this.
So this is great. So I'm sure there is, I mean, look, I'd love to see how this ongoing debate delivers for people after a while, because there's definitely two different approaches. Stick to PPC at the beginning versus try all kinds of things and definitely make sure. But what I really like about your suggestion is the capability through attribution, because you're not just saying external traffic. You're saying external traffic with attribution, because that's the key part where you are able to identify where the sales are coming from and how they are converting. And that's really more important. That way you can manage, you know, what to do, take action.
Yeah. And one thing that I didn't mention is Amazon will actually pay you for any of the sales that you drive through Amazon attribution. So that brand referral bonus is just another incentive, you know, and we often view that money as something that we can pull back into doing more through, you know, Google Ads or what have you to continue to grow that sales funnel. So Amazon does reward you in several different ways across that journey. So agreed. There's interested to see how the debate continues to go out.
Yeah. That brand referral bonus program is the icing on the cake, but it's hard cash. So if you want that for the listeners' benefit, you have to enroll. You have to be brand registered, of course, and then you have to enroll. And in order to enroll, you have to have attribution or external traffic. That's all part of it. So what it does is, let's say that you advertised on Google, Facebook, whatever, and you spent whatever advertising dollars and you generated $10,000 in sales. Through attribution, you're going to know you generated $10,000 in sales, and Amazon will pay you. It depends on categories and sale value. But generally, you will qualify for the highest percentage, which is 10%, right? So that means out of the $10,000 you generated, you'll get $1,000 back. That gets credited straight back to your settlement report every other week as it comes out. So that's a great way to reward people to drive external traffic. So you're right. So great. So Ashley, let's talk a little bit about the big picture of Amazon. Why should a company be on Amazon? And what I'd like you to cover is give us your take on exclusively online versus a company that has a supply chain with resellers and now they are going direct to consumer. And give us your take on each one. Why should or they shouldn't be on Amazon?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I think it really depends on your brand and your products and what your growth goals are for your brand. You know, the biggest question that you need to ask yourself along this as a brand is, where are your customers and where are your shoppers at? And how can you re-engage with new shoppers? And so if that means doubling down on Amazon and winning out on those certain search terms, and, you know, shoppers are on Amazon and that's growing globally. So that if that means doubling down on your Amazon strategy and making sure that you are there, that might be the case. However, I do think it's really important to make sure that you're diversifying your business and making sure that you have lots of different sources that are driving product sales on a given product, because Amazon's a tricky ecosystem with some of their product suspensions and different things that they'll take action on products. And although they're starting to make some positive changes there, it can be risky as a small business and a brand to have, you know, a product be taken down and you're not able to get that back up again. So just would caution that if that's your only place that you're selling, can be hard when something takes, when Amazon takes a hit on something, and you have to figure out, often decode the messaging of what's going on behind the scenes. So, you know, and then with resellers and engaging with D2C or having your own site, you know, there's a lot of value in growing and connecting with customers across different channels and different sites. And if you're able to support that with your business, I think all the more it is better as you grow. And so having your own D2C site is now often even more important, especially, and I think Amazon's sending some indicators that they see how important this is, right? With the Buy with Prime and some of their things that they're doing, that they're obviously watching Shopify very closely. And so I think that's, as a brand, an indicator that, hey, this is important to make sure that I'm paying attention to where my shoppers are engaging, just as Amazon's watching their competitors and where their shoppers are engaging as well.
Yeah. You know, I had a guest a few weeks ago. They actually specialized in launching retailers. I should say launching brands with big box retailers. And they also added Amazon as part of their service. So I said to him, for a company that has a supply chain where they supply big box retailers, what is the best strategy about launching on Amazon? So he said something very interesting. He said, at the same time. And then I started thinking, in other words, don't go to big box retailers first and then launch on Amazon. So I started thinking about it, and then suddenly it hit me. When you are selling to big box retailers, you're not selling to a company, right? You've got a buyer. So you go to the buyer. So the buyer is going to ultimately going to give you a PO. So the size of the PO is going to depend on, at the end of the day, that buyer's judgment call, because there is no data. This is the first time you're buying, you're just launching. And that judgment call will determine your fate, at, you know, right? So now think about this for everybody listening. If you are looking to sell to big box retailers, don't go approaching them before you launch on Amazon. Because what those buyers can do is they can go get Helium 10 and go on Amazon, pull up your product and look at your reviews, look at your sales, how much you are achieving, look at your competition, have a better understanding of the potential, and then give you a much better PO. What is your take on this?
Yeah, no, that's such an interesting scenario, right? And I think it probably depends a little bit on the relationships you've already got established. But yeah, for us, I would absolutely agree. We often do launch on Amazon first and watch what's happening with the product. And one big thing that we're always paying attention to as well when you launch elsewhere or release a product is, you could lose the buy box very quickly before you even launched the product on Amazon. And we do that first chunk of when a product has first launched on Amazon is really important. So if you're already getting and sending indicators to Amazon pre-launch from some reseller or somebody else that's, you know, watching your product or doing something on that listing, it's already telling Amazon that this is live and this is how the product is going to perform through its life cycle. Whereas if you're launching first on Amazon, you're able to kind of control some of what happens a little bit more closely. You've got the buy box. You made sure that you have full inventory in Amazon FBA. Yeah. You're doing all that you can with advertising. So we do try to launch on Amazon first and agree that often does have positive benefits there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I tell people, you know, launch on Amazon first. You know, also I say, look, you know, call me silly, but where in the world you get to do test marketing,
yes,
while generating revenue and while building infrastructure, right? Where can you do that? Nowhere else. It's not going to happen with your website. Let's say I say, don't even launch on your website. Forget website, because it will split your inventory focus and consume your cash. So in order to make a single sale on your website, you need to drive traffic. You have no idea how your website is going to convert. So then by the time everything that you spend money on trickles down, you may have a handful of orders. That's how you start. But let's assume you have deep pockets and you do all this overnight, which won't happen anyway. But what is the best case scenario? You get hit with hundreds of orders, right? Well, which business do you want to be in? Do you want to be in the business of building your brand or be building a fulfillment operation, customer service return?
Right.
I mean, it makes no sense. I say stick to Amazon FBA, launch on Amazon first, get some product feedback, and then build your rating, your reviews, and then you can go approach big box retailers or anybody else. But by that time, you will have established data for these buyers to use, for the public to use. You cannot really lose in that.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's interesting how many customers or just shoppers in the US market will look at Amazon, see what's happening on Amazon before they might purchase through distribution or your site or what have you. They're often looking at Amazon, seeing what the reviews are, and using that as a part of their kind of validation process. And so it's important to make sure that there's some positive things going on Amazon, some reviews, maybe you've enrolled in Vine, something positively is taking place there as well. So yeah.
I mean, I tell you my own experience. I was looking, I just came across this ad, you know, one of those infomercial type ads. And it was about a supplement, some nutrition. I'm very much into nutrition related stuff. And I learned about this concept. And then all on my phone, I go do a quick research about the concept that they were talking about. And I see that it's a legitimate issue that I never knew anything about. And of course, the whole thing was about selling their supplement that helped the situation. So then I established it's a justified issue. And then I start searching supplements about that particular thing. And I pull up like 3-4 brands. Guess where all of them were? All on Amazon. And what this infomercial was selling ranked very low. So I actually ended up buying a different supplement on Amazon, which happened to have a deal at the time. So, I mean, it's all about driving products. It's all coming through Amazon at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Agreed.
So you have to be there. So, Ashley, give me your take on a team. What does it take to have a successful operation on Amazon? What kind of a team does it take? What are the roles that a seller should consider and become aware and put on the table and try to fill? They may actually fill all those positions themselves just by one person, but nevertheless, the roles must be clearly defined. So what should be their attention focus?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I agree, you know, when you're first starting out, and when I first started my brand several years ago on Amazon, it's often you doing everything. But I think it's important to think of when you're starting out in terms of what would this look like long term, and making sure that you have things in buckets and can kind of, if you're a solopreneur, put those different hats on at different times. You know, you've got your advertising hat or your customer service hat. And so as you're growing, it is important to make sure that you're planning for the future, that yes, you do have somebody, and we do right now work with somebody that manages our Amazon advertising, because we sell globally on Amazon. There are several people in their daily adjusting bids and campaigns and making sure that we're hitting our ACoS and our different metrics that we're growing after for advertising. So advertising's huge. Like everybody knows that on Amazon now, it's huge. So making sure that you're planning for growth there is big. And then for us, you know, we've got a really robust support team that's helping the customers after they've purchased the product to make sure that there's a positive experience. That's really important because it feeds back into the reviews and if a customer is going to purchase from you again. So definitely would say don't overlook that, even though it might just be you doing that from the beginning. And then as we've grown, we've been able to support having somebody focused on different marketplaces for us. So, you know, we sell globally on Amazon. So somebody that can help support Japan or Canada or, you know, our off Amazon marketplaces as well. So Walmart, eBay, Best Buy, and having somebody that's there watching, interacting and advertising on those as well is important. Having somebody that's focused on data has become increasingly important on Amazon. So as you grow, I'd say that's something to watch and hopefully grow either with software tools or to have somebody on your team that's dedicated to creating reports and spitting back those data points to you so you can make business critical decisions. So those are some of the initial things that pop out to me.
How about inventory?
Yes, inventory is huge. So having a warehouse team that can support you is really critical, especially with all of the logistic and supply chain changes that a small business has to be aware of now in the kind of, you know, post-COVID 2020 world that we live in. It's important that you've got somebody that's focused on that and paying attention to it. So we've got a warehouse team and then, you know, logistics team as well that are watching and placing POs and doing a lot of those operational sides to support the business throughout.
Do you have somebody separate for financials, tracking your financial performance, or do you have the data person do that?
We do. So yeah, so on the Amazon side, we do have somebody that's focused on data. But then from the company growth perspective, we do have somebody that's focused on the financial aspects and making sure that we're staying in check there as well.
Okay. So really to summarize what I heard is you need to have specific tasks in the advertising area because that's going to drive sales. And it's a moving target all the time. And it's fairly tedious, very diverse. You have somebody separate that works on the data solely, or a bunch of tasks that will take the data, analyze it, and then make the decision or help make the decisions. And you have somebody else on what we call demand planning. What is the inventory consumption per channel, if you have multiple channels, and make sure that there is enough inventory at Amazon at all times, because you run out of inventory, that's sudden death, right?
Right, exactly.
No more advertising, no more anything. It's all about having image. So it's demand planning. Then you have the financials. Are we making money? How much are we making? And how much inventory are we carrying and all that stuff? So that's another. And then you have your logistics. That's, you know, it starts with managing POs, receiving, and then FBA shipments, blah, blah. So these are all individual tasks, but it's groups of activities. And then one thing that also, I'm sure you'll agree, content creation, right? So creating that content and revising it with pictures and videos. So none of these guys will have enough time to deal with the content. So you also need to have content.
Yeah. Exactly. Actually, Pluggable is a 50-person team now. So we actually do a lot of things in-house. So yeah, right now we've got two graphic designers. We've got a videographer. We have a content creator.
How many products, you know, Ashley? How many listings do you have on Amazon? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, we have a total of around 120 SKUs live on Amazon.
Wow. That's a lot. And you are in a fairly competitive category.
Yes. Yeah. The electronic space is very competitive. So it's important for us to kind of stay on our A game as much as possible.
Yeah. I remember when I watched, when I looked at your listings, and then I looked at your, not necessarily just your listings, but across the board, your listings, you have a pretty good performance rating on all your listings. And that's a huge accomplishment. So anybody listening, whatever she says, take it to the bank. This lady knows what she's talking about. The work that she's doing, it's very hard. So this is great, Ashley. You shared a lot. My final question on the Amazon subject, very quickly, if you could wave your magic wand and have Amazon change one of their policies on third-party sellers, what would that be?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because it's hard to pick one. I think that there is a real opportunity for Amazon's increased their processes of getting feedback from sellers and working with sellers, but there are some of the areas, being in the electronics category, that they've actually moved away and aren't hearing as much seller feedback as they likely should be, and how hard it is for small businesses on some of the changes and interactions that they're making. So that's something I just encourage, or would wave a magic wand and say, hey, make sure to continue taking care or listening to sellers as they make different changes with, taxes and compliance and safety measures and all of these things that are extremely important to make sure that they comply with and are very positive, but making sure that they're communicating in an effective way to the sellers so that they can comply and so that they can also continue selling on the platform. So there's just a bit of communication, I think, that's being lost on all the changes.
Totally. I mean, they don't treat sellers as well as they treat their customers, right?
So, right. Exactly. Yeah,
so that's the reality. This is great. Ashley, so tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you live and where did you grow up?
Yeah. So currently live in Seattle, Washington. So I've lived here for 3 years now, but grew up in Utah, actually. So made the move out here, pre-pandemic to work with Pluggable, actually. And, interestingly enough, one of the positives to being in the Seattle area is not only the beautiful benefits of the nature and the lakes and the great food that's out here, but we're right next to Amazon's headquarters. So we do get to rub shoulders and interact with some of the Amazonians, and sometimes have been invited into the office to speak about our experience. And so that's actually been an interesting positive to being in the Seattle area that we get to take advantage of.
So growing up, what was it like? Because you are in a space where it's all technology driven, and it's all numbers and complex things. Were you always drawn to that kind of stuff?
Not necessarily. I've always been drawn to entrepreneurship. I've always been drawn to, great experiences that brands build. And so that's always been something that's been a part of me. However, data or math or, tracking different things wasn't necessarily something I'd say, oh, yes, that's, was a trend back in my early days. Something I think it naturally became and started to love as I really wanted to understand how things work, I guess, at the end of the day, is asking those questions. Well, it often goes back to the data. So kind of was a later in life love that I developed.
So you were into unique experiences through brands, different products, I guess. So why was that so attractive to you?
Yeah, I can remember when I was young, certain brands standing out in my mind and watching, it was kind of the typical thing of being a middle schooler, you'd see the popular girls wear a certain brand or a certain pair of jeans. And so I remember kind of always thinking about that, like, how did that catch on, or how did that become the new it jeans or whatever it is, and would kind of track that back to what they looked like or where they were selling it or, you know, their cost. You know, always was kind of a curious thing that I would track. And it was driven by, you know, typical middle schooler behavior of, you know, what was popular, what was the it product. And so was always so curious about that, of how it came to be that way.
Well, I would want to find out why you thought, because typically, you know, especially youngsters, you know, they see the next shiny object, they go for it. All they want is to own it, right?
Right.
As soon as you own it, then that's it. You want the next best thing. So I've never actually heard anybody say, I was curious about how they got to be what they became. And so where do you think that came from?
Yeah, you know, my dad has always been very entrepreneurial. And so I think there was some of that that was ingrained from my younger days, asking certain questions or, you know, wanting to understand things. And then, yeah, I mean, similarly from my mom as well, she's a very critical thinker and takes to heart things that are going on around her and doesn't just follow along. And so that natural questioning or wondering was kind of built in from an early stage in my life.
Oh, so you just said two things that is the perfect two ingredients.
Yes. So
your dad's entrepreneurial work and your mother's critical thinking, combine them, it's all about building something by considering all the pieces that make it a great thing.
Exactly.
So that's what really was put into your DNA by your parents. And look where you are now.
Yeah, you know, I should call them today and say thank you.
But I mean, I because I'm always interested in, you know, it's also for our listeners, you know, our experiences are unique to us, but they're not unique in the world. It's others that are also having the same. So people are often at different stages in their lives, you know, listening to some of them listening to this, and we say, oh, you know, I had the same. But they may be in a different place than you are, and they may want to be where you are. And look what happened in your case. What I see is that kind of an upbringing now made you like the stuff you didn't like even, and be very good at it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's always a mindset. I always tell that to my clients. You know, they say, oh, I don't like computers. I can't touch computers. Say, well, don't look at the computer. They just don't like typing on a keyboard. But they like what they get on the computer. Just focus on that. Then suddenly everything changes, right?
That's a great point. And mindset is huge. You can change the narrative or the story around just about anything. It's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things. We are the only obstacles to our own success, really, in the end. So it's one of those things. Well, this is great. So other than work, what else? Tell us about, you know, what gets you all excited. What do you feel passionately about?
Yeah, you know, you kind of mentioned this at the kickoff. I definitely love to travel. I think that was something that was taken away during COVID. And so now that things have opened up a little bit more cautiously, I'm really enjoying traveling and getting back out and exploring new things. And I think now that we've kind of dissected my childhood, there's a bit of that, like, critical, you know, thinking and questioning things and learning things from a new culture, or even, you know, if it's a city next door to me, there's always something new you can learn or look at. That I just love that about kind of putting yourself in a new environment and watching and getting yourself out of your comfort zone. And travel for some reason does that for me. And so love to travel was just in Las Vegas last week at the Helium 10 Sail and Scale Conference, and have been able to kind of go to a few different e-commerce events this year. So been a fun way to kind of mix pleasure and fun together, or pleasure and work together. That's something I definitely enjoy doing.
Yeah. I mean, I would say your critical thinking capability or interest is, and travel, they are natural fits, like, because it exposes you to all kinds of different things and gets you thinking. This was great, Ashley. So tell us how people can reach you, share your contact information with us.
Yeah, so best place to probably find me is on LinkedIn. It's just Ashley Earle. Or you can find me at ashley@pluggable.com. That's my email. Feel free to reach out, but LinkedIn's probably the best place to get in contact, connect with me there, share your story. Would love to chat.
Great. Thank you, Ashley. This was great. You shared a lot. And I'm sure the debate on external traffic will continue. We'll obviously keep in touch and keep an eye on it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And this brings us to the end of another episode, and I'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Be sure and subscribe, rate, and review our show. And be sure and share an episode with a friend. And thank you so much for being with us today. We'll see you next week here on Amazon Legends.